Carlos, das musst du rausstellen.
Was wollte ich jetzt sagen?
Hallo und herzlich willkommen bei Yay Comics. Lara war in Leeds beim Thought Bubble Festival und hat dort mit allerlei tollen Comic Peoples geredet. In dieser Folge hört ihr all diese kurzen Gespräche hintereinander. Ihr hört CJ Ray von Black Lodge Press, Sarah Gordon, Julia Sheely, Cat Chapman, Joe Glass, Christina Baczynski, Sarah Horrocks, Sarah Burini und Ash Pure. Die meisten Gespräche sind auf Englisch, aber das vorletzte mit Sarah Burini, so ab Minute 40, ist auf Deutsch. Über die Kapitelmarken auf der Website oder in eurer Podcast-App könnt ihr direkt zu den verschiedenen Künstlerinnen springen.
Hi, my name is CJ Ray, and I run Black Lodge Press.
So you do comics. What kind of comics do you do?
I kind of do all sorts, like... The comics that we publish are all by queer artists, and so that includes myself. I've kind of done all sorts, you know, like sexy comics, sad comics, about all sorts, weird sci-fi, kind of a mixed bag. All the stuff we do is risograph printed, so it's very kind of with the colours in mind as well. So we kind of have to restrict ourselves in what we can do, so we kind of come up with different ways of printing it, I guess. So kind of all sorts, really, yeah.
I see you have some stickers and pins that say Fuck Macho Bullshit and Queer Anti-Fascist Publishing. Is that part of your comics as well? Like, yeah. Is there a political edge to it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, kind of central to, like, my life. As like a queer anti-fascist, I just want to put that into the work that I produce, I guess. Mm-hmm. And kind of make it overt as well. Like, I'm kind of done with subtlety. Fuck fascism.
Yeah, nowadays you have can't be subtle anymore. Yeah, you have to be like
that. It's just like, yeah, kind of be who you are and like make it known.
And the name Black Lodge Press, I guess, Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I'm a Twin Peaks David Lynch fan. We had like a Twin Peaks coloring in book that was one of the first things we did. It's kind of sold out now, unfortunately. Oh. But I'm a massive. That's a Twin Peaks fan, yeah.
So am I.
Yeah, cool.
So, and how is that your first bubble? Or
no, this is, oh God, I think it's like my fourth or fifth. So I'm local, I work in Leeds, I live in York. I used to work a while ago for a comic shop, which is kind of called Travelling Man, which is kind of centred around Thought Bubble. So I used to work here, and then now I come as just as a kind of exhibitor and selling stuff, but yeah, I really like coming. It's really nice. It's always a highlight of the year to come.
What's special about Thought Bubble compared to other comics events?
I think it's just like a mixed bag. So like, I don't know, you get everything from like hand printed zines to like, you know, like the big name people, and it's that kind of variety, I think, which is really nice. And there's like definitely loads of like queer comic book artists. And like publishers and stuff now, which is really class to see. It's just like a real big mixed bag, which I think is nice. So like, you know, there's a bunch that I'm not interested in, but there's loads of stuff that I walk past and I'm like, oh, I've never seen this before, and it's kind of interesting to see it. Yeah.
Did you have time to walk around and see something? Can you recommend someone else?
I haven't yet. No, I mean, I do. I'm going to do that today. That's my plan for the afternoon, is to have a wander and see some folk. I think maybe Christina has already been mentioned, but yeah, Christina's one of my faves. She's got a new book out, which is really awesome. So I definitely recommend checking out her stuff. Yeah.
So what's in store for you now? What's your future plans? Where can people find you? Maybe on the internet? Do you have any big new scenes planned, or what's up?
I've just got a full-time job, so I'm kind of like trying to balance everything at the moment. You can check us out on Black Lodge Press on Instagram. We don't have Twitter because I find it annoying. but we've got a website as well, just blacklodgepress.com. We've got a couple of things lined up for next year. A big part of my like working life is in HIV prevention, and I'd like to have comics that talk about HIV and like sexual health in a positive way. And so that's something I like to bring out in next year, is like a kind of comic focused on like living with HIV and like viewing it as, you know, as something that thousands of people live with, and it's part of their life, and it's not this like horrible stigmatized thing. It's like something that people who have it can live with it proudly as well. And so that's something that I'd like to bring out next year.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Very, very good. Cool. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Cheers. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Sarah Gordon, and I'm a comics creator.
What kind of comics do you do, Sarah?
Nasty ones. mostly horror comics, I suppose, with sort of like a dark narrative to them. So, yeah.
You self-publish your comics mostly?
Yeah, for the most part. I've actually got a small series out with a place called Soaring Penguins Press. They do an anthology called Meanwhile, but apart from that, I self-publish pretty much everything.
What about horror is that fascinates you?
There's a few things, I suppose. One of the things that I find quite interesting is that as a genre, it's one of the few places where like female protagonists feature incredibly heavily, and it's all to do with like female like internal states, things like that. It's an area that has often been sort of explored in quite a negative kind of way, and I think there's an awful lot of room there at the moment for us to sort of like be playing around and subverting with what actually really does scare us, like as a female creator, I guess, kind of female. Yeah, what does that mean for me if I am this like figure of fear from the 1970s or whatever? It's fascinating. So yeah.
Yeah, I think Margaret Bennett was once said that there's nothing more horrific than being a woman today.
It is terrifying.
So how do you go when you have an idea? How do you put it into a comic? What's your creative process?
I guess it depends from comic to comic in many ways. I mean, I guess I was just talking to you about the thing where quite a lot of the time at the moment, I'm trying to just sort of come up with a comic over a couple of days or something like that, and just try not to scare myself whilst I make it. So come up with a concept, feel it out as I go along, like intuit my way through it, and hopefully at the end of it, I will have something that is a story. That's kind of how it goes.
This isn't your first thought bubble, right?
No, it's not. In fact, I did my first one 10 years ago. I know. I came as a student. I was in my second year at university, I think. I came along with another couple of creators, Julia Shaler, who is also here, actually. We had a little zine about robots, and I don't know, we had the best time ever. And I don't know, it's my absolute favorite convention ever. I love it when I get a chance to come back, so yeah.
What makes it so special for you?
Everybody's so nice. Everybody's really nice, and everybody's super friendly. And I don't know, the dance floor is also kind of a big thing for me. It's like, I don't know, I got to DJ last night for the first time ever, and I am normally the person in the middle of the dance floor just pulling all sorts of ridiculous shapes and high kicking and things like that. So yeah, that is probably one of the really, really special things about Thought Bubbles.
Yeah, definitely. You don't get that at any other festivals or conventions. But you being here for 10 years now, how has it changed over the years for you?
It's got a lot bigger, I think, would possibly be a thing. I mean, I suppose, like I say, when I first started out, I came along with a bunch of friends. We had one zine about robots that we just turned up and we're like, yay, we've made a thing. We count as comic creators now. I guess I'm now here with a whole flotilla of books in front of me, which is kind of crazy. And yeah, I guess it's the same with just sort of watching like all of these creators that I guess I've known for the last, decade now or something, just growing up and expanding what they do. And so yeah, it's just that growth, I guess, just growth everywhere. It's so nice.
Yeah, you've got now a whole table, big prints, like I guess like almost 10 books and stuff. So not close, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think 7. Almost.
Almost, one more.
Yeah, I mean, you sold out one, so.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. Oh my God, I have 10 books. Yay!
Yay! So, so where can people find you? Maybe on the internet or maybe upcoming events?
Okay, well, yeah, my next event is probably going to be MCM Expo in London in October. You can find me on the internet at sarah-gordon.com or not Sarah Gordon on either Twitter, if you're into that kind of thing, or Instagram, which is much nicer and everybody has much better time there. Yeah, those are the places where I'm mainly active, I guess. So, yeah.
Thank you for your time. Enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thank you so much for having me. yeah, that was really fun.
Hello, I'm Julia Sheila. I'm a comics artist and illustrator, and I also run a feminist zine collective, a distro called One Beat Zines.
What can you tell me about your comics and zines?
My comics and zines are usually around gender, identity, and feelings. That's pretty much it. I really like drawing like powerful women. That's also a thing that I really like doing. The kind of work that like we commission with One Beat Zines, because we publish other people's zines, are also like around women and like non-binary stories.
What made you start the zine collective?
When I started doing this, I always got a lot of questions about how to get into zines and how to start doing them. So I decided that what I really wanted to do is to help people make their zines, especially people who are kind of new on the scene and weren't really sure, you know, people who couldn't necessarily afford like to come all the way to Leeds and like spend all the money on a table on the weekend, you know, things like that. So we wanted to publish work by artists we really, really loved, and also help distribute it and get it out there.
Great. So you have been to Thought Bubble for quite some time now, I think. How has it changed over the years?
So this is actually my 10-year Thought Bubble anniversary. It changed a lot over the years. When I was doing it in 2008, it was just the one day. It was a lot smaller. Now it's grown into this huge, beautiful thing. But the one thing that's always stayed the same is just the really good atmosphere. And I think every time I go away just feeling really like energetic and refreshed and happy about comics, which is great. It's kind of fueled me for the rest of the year to keep going, you know. So lots of big changes, but I think somehow it has like retained the heart from the beginning, which is why it's still my favorite festival. Yes.
I also think that it's specifically queer friendly.
Very specifically queer friendly, and that has grown over the years as well, especially like we're in Victoria Hall here, and if you just look around just everywhere there's so much like amazing queer content, and it's just really great to see, and really expensive because I spend my money on basically everything, so yeah.
So where can people find you and your work, maybe online or upcoming events?
Online. We're the distro is at onebeatzines.com, and my website is my name, juliashele.com. That's S-C-H-E-E-L-E. Have to spell that, it's a bit difficult. And also I will be, I'm actually currently organizing a small alternative comics festival in Glasgow with some friends. That's going to be on the 27th of October, and it's called Ghost Comics Festival, and it's our first one. It's going to be small but really good. And I'm also going to be at the Edinburgh Comics Arts Festival sometime in November. Yes.
Great. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
My name's Katrina Chapman, and I'm a comic creator, and I also work for Avery Hill Publishing. So I do a bit of publishing and a bit of creating my own comics.
And you just released your first book?
Yep, that's right. It's my first proper book. Yeah, a long one as well. It's like a hardback book, and it's 240-something pages. So up until that, I've only done little zines and short things, 24-page zines. So this is my first big, big book.
Exciting.
Yeah.
What's the book about?
It's a travelogue. It's based on a trip I did around Mexico and Central America when I was 24, quite a while ago. And it's a travelogue, but it's also a personal story. I wanted to do a mixture of travelogue with information, factual things about the country that I was visiting, but also a personal story running through, mm-hmm. so that it's not too dry and factual. So there is an ongoing thread that runs through. I traveled with an ex-partner who was an alcoholic, so it's the story of the relationship, and it's starting to fall apart as we go through the journey. So that gives it a kind of human side to the story. So it's not just, we went to these places and this is what they look like. There's more going on underneath.
Sounds like a pretty intense story then, if you like combine those things, like a foreign country you've, I guess, never been before, and then this personal story going on. How long did you work on the book then?
Quite a few years. I wasn't working on it full-time ever, so it's hard to know exactly how long it took me. I have two part-time jobs, and I've been making my zine, which is an ongoing project, so I haven't worked full-time on the book, but at least 3 years overall.
Wow, that's a long time. But I love that you still keep on doing your zines. What are your zines usually about?
They're also autobiographical, usually short stories. Mostly little short stories from my life, but also really random things, like just anything that I find interesting. Or there's a story about the International Space Station. There's stories about, you know, there's things about animals, just nature, which I love. But it's mostly stories from my experience.
Putting your personal experience into some creative work is great, but sometimes a bit terrifying. How did you decide to do it in the comics form?
Yeah, it is a bit strange. And it felt more strange to begin with. But once I got used to it, it's kind of okay. Working on this book, because it dealt with a past relationship, at first it was very odd to start drawing.
Yeah, okay.
But then I got quite detached from the personal stuff, and I started to view it as a character. I was just a character in the story, and whatever was going to be good for the story, I was happy to just draw it. So after a while, it seemed very normal to just put everything down.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're here at Thought Bubble, and I guess that is not your first Thought Bubble festival.
No, it's not. I've probably been to about 5 or 6 in the past, but I didn't come last year, so I haven't been every year. But
you've noticed how it changed, like not only the change of location, but in general, how do you feel about that?
I think it's just a great festival. It always has been. It's probably got bigger each year, but I don't think that's harmed it at all. I mean, it can be very overwhelming when you try and see everything that's here, but it's a wonderful one to take part in. I've never come just as a visitor, so I'm not sure what that's like. You probably know more than me. But yeah, it's when you have a table, it's hard to go around and experience the festival. But yeah, people come from all over to take part, so there's an interesting mix of creators here.
What do you think, why is Thought Bubble maybe better in the way compared to other festivals in maintaining that feeling that it's not, I don't know, selling out or something?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's hard to say. I think they have a really good range of people taking part, from very, very new creators to very well-known people. I often don't know the big name people because I don't really read the mainstream comics. So there'll be people signing and I have no idea who that is. But that's nice. That means that they're doing it right, because I feel at home here, and I think people just starting out in comics feel comfortable here. It's just well organized and it's fun. People dress up. So
yeah,
it's just a really nice one.
Did you find anyone this year that you didn't know before?
I've literally not left my table so far. But there was one illustrator from the Netherlands who I wanted to meet, and she came to my table. So I achieved that.
Yeah.
And when I get a chance, hopefully later, I'll go around and meet some more people. But yeah, so far it's been very busy.
Which is good.
Yes.
People keep buying your books.
Yeah, it's been really good.
So what kind of comics do you like? If you don't know the big names, what kind of comics do you read?
I like the sort of comics that I make. I like autobiography and memoir type stories. I like stories that are quite small scale and personal, and they're set in the real world. That's not to say I don't like fantasy and things sometimes, but I like sci-fi sometimes. But I just like comics that are set in the real world and they're just about everyday life, and it's like having a little look into somebody's life. Those are the ones I read the most.
Okay. Where can people find you online or maybe at upcoming events?
I've got a website which is just my name, katrinachapman.com, and it's spelled katriona. Chapman is chapman, and I'm on social media either Katrina Chapman or Kat Chapman. I go with Kat because it's easier. I'm on the internet. I don't have any other events booked yet. This was my first one after finishing the graphic novel, so I'm just getting back into doing these things. But next year I should be at some more.
Cool. So yeah, thanks for your time, and hopefully you enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thank you very much.
I'm Joe Glass. I'm the writer and creator of The Pride, which is a comic series about a team of all LGBTQ superheroes. We've got one complete volume under our belt already and got a new issue out for the next volume already. That's what I do and why I'm here at Thought Bubble.
Can you talk a little bit more about the Pride comics?
So basically it's all about adding a bit more diversity and representation in a medium which maybe was a bit lacking in that sort of respect, but also just telling more positive, brighter, fun superhero stories which aren't like grim dark all the time, and which were queer stories which didn't always end in tragedy, you know, and just trying to be like a bit brighter for everyone. Try to give everyone a little chance to see themselves in the spotlight a little bit, and not just like as subtext or as an analogy or metaphor, to actually be text within the book and, you know, explicitly and openly their queer authentic selves, but also in a way which is quite accessible to people, whether they are part of the community or not, to people pretty much any age. It's, you know, something which is not gratuitous or graphic. It's just your sort of, it's basically the same sort of content level of Justice League and Avengers, or the Gay Avengers, if you will.
The Gay Avengers, that's great. So you have a big set of characters and stuff. So what's happening in the first trade, roughly?
So the first story arc involves Fab Man deciding that he's kind of sick of queer superheroes being seen as a bit of a joke and being treated as somehow lesser than their heterosexual counterparts. So he decides to create a superhero team of all LGBTQ heroes. In doing so, he gathers a group of awesome superheroes to really represent the community, and they come up with sort of pushback from the superhero teams, from the media at large, until they ultimately actually wind up being the only superhero team in the world which can possibly save the world from a threat. So, yeah, it's kind of your typical superhero action-adventure introduction kind of story, but just adding that sort of open, authentic representation element to it.
Okay. Walking around Thought Bubble, I had the feeling that it's a bit more queer-friendly than maybe other convention I've been to. Do you have the same impression?
Yeah, I always have with Thought Bubble, in terms of the organizers themselves. The content which you see around Thought Bubble is a lot of really representative and diverse content around on all kinds, not just superheroes, like any kind of comic book, but you can find really awesome representative content. And certainly in terms of welcoming, it always has been a very welcoming space for people who are a part of the LGBTQ spectrum or not. Thought Bubble's probably one of the nicest cons in the UK for that, yeah.
I think you have been to Thought Bubble for quite some years now. How has it like developed or changed for you? How did you see that?
It just seems to keep on getting bigger and bigger and better over time, and that's awesome to see more new people every year, as well as regulars who are like year in, year out to check everything out. But also, yeah, the amount of queer content has been increasing over years as people realise this is a really accessible and really open and safe show to be part of and to see that kind of stuff. So I think like with each year, it just feels like there's just more and more out there for everyone.
So where can people find you, maybe on the internet or upcoming events?
Well, they can follow The Pride on Twitter at The Pride Comic, or you're on Facebook at The Pride Comic as well. And you can find an online store where you can actually purchase the books, and they can ship anywhere in the world at www.thepride.bigcartel.com. The comics are also available on Comixology and Amazon if you're after digital copies.
Thank you so much for your time.
No worries. Thank you so much.
I'm Christina Baczynski. I'm a UK comics creator and freelance illustrator. And yeah, I'm from Leeds.
Woo! So you just got your first book published. What's it about?
So my first graphic novel is Retrograde Orbit. It's by Avery Hill Publishing. And it's the story of a young girl who becomes a young woman. And she is part of a family that are from a certain side of the solar system. It's a science fiction story. They were displaced to another planet because of an event on that their original home. And the story is about her negotiating whether she belongs on the home that she's been born on with her mother, or whether to explore the kind of lure that she has for the place that she knows her family are originally from. So it's kind of loosely based on my experiences being a second generation immigrant, because my family are Ukrainian and settled in England after the Second World War. So it's kind of got some of those themes, but it's more of a science fiction metaphor for that. So it's got broader themes as well, kind of rolled in.
Why did you choose the genre of science fiction and not base it coldly in reality?
In part, selfishly, because I really like sci-fi. I love drawing aliens. I love inventing worlds. I love the freedom that it gives you to make an interesting backdrop to accentuate a story. I also think it works as a really good metaphor for like human truths. So sci-fi, even though the characters aren't human as a species, I think there's a lot of truth to the story that I was telling. I've drawn myself a lot of times. I didn't want to draw myself. It isn't really my story. So there's an element of autobio in there. But I also didn't want it to be completely my story. So there's bits of truth. I also wanted to make the story really interesting and fun and rich and sumptuous. And so it's kind of got a lot more added to it, which you can do with a kind of genre piece like sci-fi and fantasy and all that stuff. I think you can kind of hang a lot more on it to accentuate the narrative that is kind of, because it's quite a simple story set in quite a fantastical settings, to kind of heighten that, I think.
You've done quite a lot of comics before, but that's your first big graphic novel book. How was that different to all your scenes and smaller comics?
Well, I'd put it off for a long time because I was really scared of working on a graphic novel. I like didn't know if my process would scale up from like 24, 28, 32 pages, and actually like it wouldn't just dilute my original comics and they'd be like twice as long and half as good kind of thing. So I was quite worried about it. I spent a lot longer writing and rewriting and interrogating the story. I really enjoyed working with my editor, so I don't think I would have been as confident or felt as capable taking risks if I hadn't have worked with a publisher on the graphic novel. So the fact that I was part of a team really helped kind of paper over those changes and those worries that I had from transitioning from self-publishing to kind of working on the graphic novel and a longer piece. So I really took advantage of using my editor, who had been a fan of my work previously of my shorter comics, which is why I chose the publisher I did. So it felt like a really good match. So I took advantage of them and just used them as a sounding board as much as I could, which was really enjoyable. So and that helped keep it rolling and keep it going. And if I ever wasn't sure about something, I always had a team of people to bounce ideas off and say, is this coming across, or what do you reckon to this, how about this idea or this idea, and just get opinions, which sitting alone working on a zine, like, it's quite quick and the stakes are a lot lower, so I wouldn't have interrogated the ideas that much, but I definitely did a lot more of that this time around, and also had those people to work with, which was really great. So that's probably been the biggest change, kind of transitioning.
Well, that's exactly what publishers should do, yeah. Right? Help you. So you've been to Thought Bubble a couple of times, right?
Yeah, a lot of times, yeah.
What's so special about this event?
Well, I'm really nostalgic over Thought Bubble because I'm originally from Leeds, so it's my hometown show. So I get to sleep in my own bed, which is amazing. I also get to restock between Saturday and Sunday. But aside from all that, like logistical stuff, it was the first ever show that I ever did. So this is my 10th Thought Bubble, which is really wild. So when I kind of graduated, I had some weird little zines and little things made, and Thought Bubble was the first time I ever shared them publicly, like at a show. And I keep coming back because it's kind of grown. I felt very nurtured when I was very fragile and small. And I think it's a really special show because you have people who are first-timers, you have students, you have people who are making zines and comics, and then you have them alongside publishers of all calibers from all over the world. You have pros who have been doing it for decades and who are like hyper famous, and that all exists in the same place. It's like a real even playing field. So I think I really like that you can come to one show and see all levels of like the publishing ladder, and I think it excites me because you see, well, it excited me as a self-publisher because I saw different faces in the self-publishing that I wouldn't have seen in pro publishing at that time. So I those people resonated with me more, I felt more accepted, so that was really exciting to kind of find my group within comics at this festival. So I think wherever you are and whatever kind of comics you want to make, there's a bit of it at Thought Bubble, and it's kind of treated the same, which I really liked.
Okay, cool. Not to keep you any longer, final question: what's next for you? Where can people find you? What are your creative future plans?
Well, I'm in talks with another publisher about another book, which is kind of, we're just starting to talk about it, so maybe I think that would be 2020 that I'd be making another comic with them, which is really exciting, but I won't jinx it, touch wood. I've got a children's book coming out next year, which I've also finished work on, which is about self-publishing, teaching children how to self-publish and make zines, which is really cool. So that'll be coming out spring next year, 2019. That's all the publicity is about to start on that in the next few months. Online you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Kay Baczynski, which is KBACZYNSKI. If you can spell it, you can be my friend. And you can find my shop on Etsy or my website, which is www.kristyna, so KRISTYNA.co.UK. And that's me.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you so much.
So I'm here with Sarah Horrocks, comics creator and comics critic. Hello, Sarah. Who are you?
I'm Sarah Horrocks. I make comics. I also am a comics critic. The most recent comic I've made is a comic called Goro, which is it's going to be an 8-part. I've got 7 of them done. It's like a melodrama soap opera thing, kind of based like telenovelas or like 80s things like Dynasty and Dallas. But most of my stuff besides that has been horror. I like to do sort of genre stuff in a very sort of personal, but a way like my influences are more people like, I want to make things like Bergman, Tarkovsky, Fassbinder, people like that.
When you start a new comic, where do you get the initial idea from?
It kind of forms over time, because like even while I'm working, finished Goro now, I'm in the planning for my next book. So like over the course of the year, I've been thinking about like how that book's going to go. And I've been trying different things in my head to like, does this work with the story? Should the story be like that? Should the story be like this? And then I'll watch like movies or read books that like get me in the emotional state that I think the book is appropriate. And that tends to be my process. It just kind of builds over time.
Okay. What was the movie when you did Goro?
Goro, it was, a lot of Almodovar, Dynasty, the TV series, there's a Spanish telenovela called, La Usurpadora, that was really big. Yeah, those kind of melodramas. I probably watched some Cirque as well, and some of Fassbender's melodrama stuff.
Okay. So when you start doing a comic, you first have the story written down and then you add the art, or do you sometimes just like sketch around and say, hey, I should do a comic about that?
I start with the script. Well, I have like the images sort of in my head, and then I sort of like build the story, but I always make sure that I have the script first. And so that way, because I have a part-time job that I go to, so I have to really structure my time, and so it's important for me to have a script that I can just wake up to every day and I can see this is what I need to draw, and it makes it very efficient for my time and I can get into the mode right away. I'm not someone who's very good at just sitting in front of a blank piece of paper and drawing a story out, I need to like think about it from all the different angles first and think about all the possibilities and maybe like try drawing some different styles to see which fit, and then I can start the comic.
Yeah. Why did you do comics to begin with? Why not write a novel or do something else?
Well, when I was a kid, I thought that what I wanted to do was write like the next great American novel. But in high school, I grew up reading comics, but I didn't I really appreciate them until I read Alan Moore's The Watchmen, Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons' Watchmen comic. And that really opened my mind to how complex comics could be and like the sort of layers that you could do with the images and text and stuff like that. And that's when I started wanted to initially just write comics. But then I couldn't get anyone to draw my scripts for free, and I was too poor to pay someone. So I taught myself to draw. That's why I learned how to draw, was to make comics. So I rarely do anything but draw comics.
Wow, that's amazing. Like, I don't find anyone, and then just I do it myself. That's really great. Is it your first time in Europe?
It is, actually. This year has been kind of my international tour, because I went to TCAF in Toronto, which is still on North American continent, so it kind of doesn't count. But this is my first time actually out of the U.S. country. I travel a lot within the U.S., but first time out, very excited, because online it seems like the people who I agree with most philosophically and who are into the same sort of like frames of thought that I am, they tend to be Europeans. Uh-huh. So excited to come over here. After the con, I'm going to get to spend a week in London and then 2 weeks in Spain with comic artists. So it's very exciting. Like I've been looking forward to getting to Europe for a long time.
How is Thought Bubble different maybe to other European or American conventions?
The closest comparison to it is probably TCAF, in terms of it's a convention that is pretty focused on comics. Because I've done like Emerald City Comic Convention in Seattle, and it's very like superheroes and fan art and movies, and it's very hard to find people that are selling the actual comics, like their personal comics that they made. But here, that it's comic artists, they're selling comic art, and it's very invigorating and exciting. And it's definitely, that's the type of con that I prefer, because I get kind of depressed when I just see like walls of the same art. I like seeing people who are into comics and are making comics and have the passion to like build them.
Did you have time to walk around Thought Bubble and discover someone or something new?
I've had some time, a little bit of time to walk around, but I mean, before I came here, I had my like list of people. Because I knew there's this Scottish artist named Paul John Milne that I've been following on Twitter for the longest time, but I haven't been able to get access to his work. And I was super excited. Like, the very first thing I did, like, on the first day, as soon as I got, like, any time, was march over to the table and buy all of his books that were there. And I also bought the rest of the Mindless Ones people, like Dan White and David Allison and people like that. But I was really excited for that stuff, because I've been looking at it digitally for the longest time, and it was just real exciting to finally get to see it like in the flesh and read it in like my preferred way in the text, which you relate to.
Yeah, I can relate so much. So where can people find you online, and what's next after you come back maybe to the States, new projects?
Online, I'm under at Mercurial Blonde on almost everything, like Instagram, Patreon, Twitter, and if you go to my Twitter, that'll give you a link to like my web page, which I think is sarahhorrocks.squarespace.com. What was the second question? I think it was the one I wanted to answer more.
New project.
Yes. So for next year, I have one issue left of Goro to do, which is going to be double sized and like 50 pages. After that, I'm doing a short little werewolf comic with this artist Ian McEwen that we kind of have co-written, co-created, and then we're co-drawing, so it'll be kind of strange. Then, like, January, I'm going to start working on my mech comic. I've been hyping this up for about a year now, because I've just been trying to get better and better at drawing mechs, and I've been trying out all these ideas for this story for like a year, and watching all the Gundams, all the mobile, all the mech things, because I'm really interested in like that dynamic of the sort of there's a romanticism to it that's that I like, and I'm interested as well as far as trying to bring like horror to it and like the themes that I deal with in my work into that framework. So I'm very excited about that. Should start that January. It's unlike anything I've tried before, so I'm also really nervous. But every comic I've done has been unlike anything I've tried. So what else is new, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the stuff you've done so far is so great. So I'm pretty sure the Mac comic will be great too. Thank you for your time and enjoy the rest of the convention.
Thank you so much.
Ich sitze jetzt hier mit der wunderbaren, einzigartigen Sarah Vorini. Hallo Sarah.
Hallo Lara.
Wir sind beide hier in der größten Einkaufshalle, die Leeds so zu bieten hat im Trinity und sind beide zufällig bei diesem Thought Bubble Festival. Warum bist du denn überhaupt hier? Warum gerade hier in Leeds beim Thought Bubble?
Oh Gott, so viele Gründe. Hauptsächlich Inspiration, Motivation. Transpiration lasse ich mal weg, weil dazu ist es ein bisschen zu kalt.
Naja, in den Zelten ist es ja doch manchmal ein bisschen muffig.
Ja, das stimmt. Also es geht aber. Dafür hat man sehr, sehr viel freshes Artwork.
Oh, jetzt aber.
Das uns alle so ein bisschen bei Laune hält. Mhm. Ja, hauptsächlich bin ich deswegen hier, weil die Messe trifft so ziemlich meinen Geschmack, was Comics betrifft. Mhm. Also es ist nicht ganz Mainstream, ist nicht ganz so in die sehr, sehr kunstige Ecke, so irgendwie so dazwischen. Es gibt viele neue Sachen zu entdecken. Und es gibt aber auch so, wenn man halt möchte, Leute, von denen man irgendwie schon öfters was gehört hat. Also die stellen hier auch aus und also trifft eigentlich irgendwie so voll meinen Geschmack. Und ich bin immer, wenn ich zurückkomme, voll inspiriert.
Hm. Gehst du auch zu irgendwie was von dem Rahmenprogramm gerne oder bist du eher wirklich wegen der AusstellerInnen hier?
Nee, tatsächlich ist das auch mal was, wo ich ein Rahmenprogramm wirklich wahrnehmen kann, weil sonst bin ich ja bei Comicmessen eher hinterm Tisch und so ein bisschen mit dieser Fußfessel da befestigt und kann nicht weg. Und das ist so ein bisschen das einzige Festival, wo ich sagen kann, yeah, ich gucke mir mal ein bisschen was vom Rahmenprogramm an.
Und die Stadt Leeds selber, hast du von der auch schon was gesehen? Wie ist die so? Oder findest du dann wirklich nur das Festival an sich interessant und der Rest ist eigentlich egal?
Also doch schon. Natürlich viel kann ich mir nicht angucken, weil dazu ist die Zeit ein bisschen zu knapp. Aber ich bin jetzt so das dritte Mal hier, glaube ich. Und ich finde die Stadt wirklich ganz hübsch. Und ich finde es auch total toll, dass sie jetzt mitten im Stadtzentrum dieses Festival veranstalten, weil dadurch sieht man auch davon ein bisschen mehr. Und die Stadt sieht mehr von dem Festival.
Das heißt, du bist jetzt nicht zum ersten Mal hier. Du bist schon, wie oft warst du jetzt schon hier?
Ich glaube dreimal. Und das erste Mal habe ich mir einen Tisch geteilt, auch mit den Zwerchfels. Das war aber echt überhaupt nicht so sinnvoll, wenn man hier als, sagen wir mal, unbekannter Künstler einen Tisch hat. Und es ist super stressig, dann den ganzen Comic-Quatsch einfach von Deutschland hier anzuschleppen. Da bin ich dann lieber als Besucher hier und genieße auch einfach mal die Veranstaltung.
Hast du denn jetzt schon so ein, zwei Sachen erlebt oder gesehen oder Leute, wo du sagen würdest, das sollte man auf jeden Fall mal sich angucken im Internet oder so oder versuchen, die Comics von den Personen zu sehen?
Ja, schon, wobei ich heute halt erstmal so mir so einen Gesamteindruck verschafft habe. Ich war aber auf dem Panel von Karen Berger. Das ist jetzt natürlich überhaupt kein undergroundiger Tipp für, eine Redakteurin, die irgendwie seit den 90ern Comics herausgibt. Aber sie hat trotzdem halt jetzt ihre eigene Comic-Line bei Dark Horse, Burger Books. Und ich fand das wirklich, hatte Hand und Fuß, was sie da so präsentiert hat und sehr, sehr viele originelle Originalideen. Also nichts, was auf irgendwas beruht oder so. Und viele Leute dabei, von denen wir vielleicht noch nicht so viel gehört haben, wie Emma Viacelli, an deren Stand wir heute auch gemeinsam waren, auch weil sie halt unter anderem den Life is Strange Comics schreibt, was wieder auf irgendwas beruht. aber sie ist halt eben auch eine Zeichnerin für Olivia Twist. Okay, beruht auch wieder was, wenn ich sage. Aber es gibt einen Twist auf den Oliver Twist, auf diese Story bei Burger Books, und da zeichnet sie halt für.
Genau, und sie macht, glaube ich, noch einen Comic, der heißt Breakdown, und ich glaube, der ist originär von ihr und genau. noch in irgendeinem Manga hatte sie auch dabei. Also macht auch eigene Sachen, nicht nur so irgendwelche IPs. Die ist auf jeden Fall super, kann ich auch empfehlen. Nutzt du dann eigentlich das auch irgendwie, um mit anderen, mit der internationalen Szene dich zu vernetzen?
Ja, wenn ich ehrlich bin, ja. Das ist auch tatsächlich so ein bisschen cool, dass diese Messe sich so einen guten Ruf auch bei den Amis erarbeitet hat, schon lange. Und man kann hier tatsächlich Leute auch treffen, also Freunde, die ich halt aus meiner Zeit in Portland in den USA kennengelernt habe. Und ja, ich habe auf jeden Fall großen Spaß daran, auch hier mit Leuten zu reden, die mal nicht nur in Deutschland Comics machen.
Gibt es irgendwie ein deutsches Festival oder eine Veranstaltung, die du irgendwie mit der Thought Bubble vergleichen könntest?
Da ich noch nicht auf der Comic Invasion war, kann ich das leider nicht vergleichen, weil ich das nicht weiß. In meinem Kopf wäre es vielleicht so. Das kannst du dann vielleicht eher beantworten. Ich glaube, dieses Jahr Erlangen kommt denen so ein bisschen nahe, so am nächsten. Wie schätzt du das ein? Gerade für mich so ein bisschen.
Ich würde sagen, es ist ein größeres Erlangen und mit einem noch stärkeren Indie-Charakter, würde ich sagen. Es ist wirklich eher ein Festival als eine Convention, eine Messe oder sonst irgendwas. Also der Salon ist ja auch schon so ein bisschen festivalartig, aber hat noch nicht eben dieses Klassische, was wir Deutschen vielleicht auch so mit Musikfestival verbinden. Mhm. Das ist hier eher so.
Genau, und es gibt, also zumindest habe ich es noch nicht gesehen, es gibt keine Longboxen. Keine Longboxen. Und ich bin persönlich, es tut mir total leid so für die Händler, aber die haben halt ihre eigenen Messen. Ich finde, dass diese Börsen und Festivals nicht dasselbe sind. Bei dem einen geht es irgendwie um Sammeln und bei dem anderen geht es irgendwie um Kunst. Und natürlich kann sich beides mischen und verbinden, aber ich finde es auch mal angenehm, eben einfach so zu sehen, dass man die Comic-Kunst feiert. Mhm. Ja.
Ja, ich glaube, also was hier ist, ist, dass einige Verlage haben hier einen Stand, so wie zum Beispiel Avery Hill Publishing. Das ist ein britischer Verlag. Aber es gibt, glaube ich, es sind drei lokale Comic-Shops, die haben einen Stand und die verkaufen aber fast auch wirklich ausschließlich Trades und Hardcover. Ich glaube, Single-Issues, einzelne Hefte findet man hier wirklich nicht. Habe ich zumindest noch nicht so in dieser, also nur die Independent halt, die verkaufen natürlich ihre Heftchen, aber das, was mit diesen Longboxes, das habe ich auch noch nicht gesehen. Und das gibt dem Ganzen wirklich einen ganz eigenen Charakter. Was interessant ist, es gibt zum Beispiel trotzdem relativ cool viel Cosplay, aber es ist auch ein anderes Cosplay,
ja, total,
als das, was ich von so diesen anderen Cons in Deutschland und in den Staaten so sehe.
Ja, ich glaube, ich habe heute zum Beispiel, was habe ich gesehen, Rocketeer. Das ist halt so, nie im Leben würde ich das auf einer deutschen Messe überhaupt annehmen, dass sich jemand noch an den Rocketeer erinnert. Dann aber auch so Sachen, wo ich denke, die sind vielleicht beim Cosplay schon eine Stufe weiter. Und jetzt rede ich halt nicht so unbedingt nur vom Anime- und Manga-Cosplay, sondern die sind auch dabei, so ein paar Lizenzen zu vermischen und dann so ihre eigene Takes auf ein bestimmtes Kostüm zu geben. Aber ja, ich sehe halt auch irgendwie erfrischen viele junge Leute. Das ist auch cool.
Das stimmt. Also das Publikum hier ist wirklich, wirklich jung und sehr divers.
Ja.
Ich finde es immer wieder spannend, wenn man hier rumgeht und ganz viele Leute sieht, die man sonst eher nicht so sieht. Auch vor allem die Atmosphäre ist halt auch so, dass man sich so frei bewegen kann, ohne dass man irgendwie, es ist halt schon, man ist weniger angespannt, hatte ich das Gefühl.
Ja, also es gibt halt nicht so diese, das klingt ein bisschen despektierlich, aber lange Zeit haben halt so die Fanboys, die etwas älteren und halt eben auch bei uns durch den franco-belgischen Raum geprägt, die Sammler, das Bild von Comic-Messen geprägt. Und es ist natürlich vollkommen in Ordnung, klar. Aber gerade bei den Sammlern ist es ja auch so, dass man denkt als Comic-Macherin, so wie ich, so, wo ist denn die nächste Generation eigentlich und so. Also die vielleicht auch für die ich meine Comics mache. Nicht, dass Sammler sich davon nicht angesprochen fühlen könnten, aber du weißt wahrscheinlich, was ich meine.
Ja,
ich hoffe, ihr da draußen wisst auch, was ich meine. Beschwerdebriefe an Sarah hat wieder missgelabert @googlemail.com.
Abschließend, wenn jetzt jemand sagt, wow, das klingt total gut, was ist die eine Sache, die Sie, wenn Sie nächstes Jahr hierher reisen, unbedingt mitnehmen müssen?
Oh Gott. Weiß ich nicht. Es gibt total viel im Programm für jeden. Die Panels würde ich auf jeden Fall mitnehmen, weil die auch die manchmal so eine Stufe weiter sind als das, was wir manchmal in Erlangen schon haben. So, es gibt hier keine Frauen in Comics Panels mehr. So, das ist halt so. Dann, es gibt genügend Frauen in Comics, das muss man jetzt auch zum Beispiel nicht zum x-ten Mal besprechen, das muss man irgendwann auch mal weiterkommen und so weiter. Also mal so Ausschau halten, und was man auf jeden Fall auch immer machen kann, ist die Book-Release-Partys abzuchecken, die es halt hier in diesen von dir schon erwähnten kleinen Comic-Shops gibt, wie halt OK Comics oder Traveling Man. Das sind sehr kleine, schöne, charmante Läden, die halt eben auch Bücher oder Book-Release-Partys geben zu Büchern, die bei uns vielleicht noch nicht mal je auf Deutsch erscheinen. Also das generell, so mal gucken, welche Indie-Comics man hier findet, die bei uns in Deutschland nur schwer zu haben sind. Das wäre cool.
Ja, die sind meistens so 1-2 Tage vor der tatsächlichen Convention sind die dann da. Deswegen lohnt es sich durchaus, auch mal einen Tag vorher anzureisen. Das stimmt auf jeden Fall.
Genau, und so ein paar waren während des Festivals schon auch. Aber natürlich passieren genug aufregende Sachen. Und naja, vielleicht will man ja auch lieber zu der Mid-Con-Party, die ja immer traditionellerweise am Samstag stattfindet. Oder die ganzen Comiczeichner, Professionals sind auch oft im Radisson Blue Hotel in der Lounge und saufen sich die Hucke voll und tun so, als wären sie professionell. Nein, man kann sich auch professionell die Hucke voll saufen. Ja, Sarah labert wieder Trash @googlemail.com Dings. Ach, zufälligerweise habe ich mich jetzt auch noch bei der Mailadresse vertan. Wie unglücklich.
Das heißt, du gehst jetzt auch dahin und haust dir professionell die Hucke voll. Vielen Dank, dass du kurz in unserem Podcast vorbeigeschaut hast. Viel Spaß dir noch.
Dankeschön.
I'm standing here with James, a.k.a. Ash Pure.
I've got a little bit of Ash Pure left. It's slightly flaking and crumbling, you know. But there's a little Ash Pure left on my fingertips.
Nail paint and stuff. We're just in the queue for our flight, and we just thought we recap our weekend a bit. So you had a table. How was Thought Bubble for you?
Thought Bubble was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun, let's say that. If you want to read into that and the financial implications, then that's your business.
Did you discover anyone new or anyone you wanted to see again?
That was the thing. The trouble with having a table is that I found last time, I didn't get the chance to go and see as many people. And I was considering this time not having a table so I could see people. But what I decided to do was have a table and then leave it and go and see people. And I saw some wonderful stuff. I saw a new publishing company called Liminal 11, who are producing books for... Oh, what's the way to put it that doesn't sound shit? If I say mindfulness and meditation, then you will immediately go, ah, nah, nah, and turn off, perhaps, or you'll go, yeah, that's great. But if you did turn off, well, don't, because they've got books by Tilly Walden and other great creators just producing some very lovely, produced, beautiful books concerned with making people better, making the world better, which I think is a good thing to do. I saw the launch of Apollo from Self-Made Hero by the very talented Matt and Chris, formerly of Dead Canary Comics, or still of Dead Canary Comics, but this is their first book for Self-Made Hero, and it's the story of the Apollo moon trip, and that's a wonderful thing. And the other, so much good stuff, so many good creators. Avery Hill had a launch of two books that you'll have to help me with the names of. You bought the copy.
Yeah.
Very, very beautiful. I think Avery Hill, for me, are the kind of best truly independent publishers coming out of the UK today.
And what makes you come back to Thought Bubble to begin with?
What do you mean? Why do I drag these like heavy boxes of paper?
Yeah, I mean, like as a person who has a table, or even as a just a visitor. Why? What's the appeal of Thought Bubble for you to come back?
The appeal of Thought Bubble is that it is a genuine festival of comics culture, and it's just about comics. And you will find people who love comics on every side of the table. And I think every year it seems to get a little bit better, a little bit bigger, and there's a bit more kind of culture involved. And I think as a kind of antidote to the Comic Con, I think, which is about merchandise and films and games, and, you know, that's fine. But if you love comics you know, comics you don't know, then Thought Bubble is the place to come in Britain to find that.
Yeah, also the program around it is really nice. Like, you have the book signings and releases like 1 or 2 days before, and during the festival you have a lot of panel discussions and stuff going on, which is also great and usually transcends the basic panel program you get at other festivals or comic conventions. Going one step further and like talking about stuff that's pushing the medium a bit more.
I didn't get the chance to see any panels. I'd like to know what your highlights were.
Actually, the first panel I saw was a panel called "The Best Thing I've Read All Year,"
where yes, by Gosh Comics.
Gosh Comics.
Yeah, the best comic shop, certainly in London, possibly in the UK, possibly in the world.
And they had Zainab Akhtar from Shortbox Publishing. They had Sloane Leong, who is an up-and-coming queer comic creator. They had a guy called Zachary and another guy, I don't remember the name. And they had Sarah Horrocks, a comics creator and comics critic from the States. And they all just pitched their, or like told about their favorite comic, why it's their favorite comic, and why should everyone read it. And it was very entertaining and funny. It was all very different stuff. One recommended a manga, one recommended like a webcomic, one recommended a proper big book, other smaller ones. So the variety was really cool. It was a good way to start the festival because most of these books were available at the festival.
Nice.
Another panel I saw was, I don't even know it, it's called Stripped Panel Naked.
Yes, they have that magazine panel by panel, Hassan, I forget his name.
Omar or something?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, and he had one on Saturday, one on Sunday, I think. And I thought a Saturday one with Greg Rucka and Leslie Hung from Snogged Girl and a letterer and a colorist, I think. And they really... They went through the different comics and each and everyone like commented on their field of the craft. So it was really interesting to see what in the mostly American comic business is like. How do these people interact with each other? Who has the say in what? And how the process of a comic is done when you split up all these kind of jobs into different people, as opposed to doing it all by yourself, which is mostly what you do in independent and European comic.
Right.
So that was pretty interesting. There were a couple of others. Warren Ellis had two keynotes, but I didn't attend that one. But I think that was pretty interesting. Yeah.
And I was also very pleased to see that the iJack app is getting its chance to shine in the UK, and that's the augmented reality comics and artwork created by Tasmanian Australian based, now living in Australia, artist Suchu Eats Flies. iJack app.com I think is the website, and they were dotted throughout the festival. There were interactive posters that you could by using the app bring to life in weird and wonderful ways, which I think, I guess some people might see it as a gimmick, but for me, I see it as a gimmick in the same way that colour printing is a gimmick.
Yeah.
It's another layer of meaning to art, this sort of augmented reality layer. And maybe at the moment, it still has the feeling of the train rushing towards the camera of the sort of cinema, first cinema, but I think there's some really interesting stuff that can be done with it. And I think that was nice to see it, and sort of really kind of felt that everything was covered, from the, you know, the pure craft of comic making to the future and beyond.
Yeah, that's what I meant with like pushing the medium a bit further, just a little bit. So to have these posters and exhibitions, you could see what's possible. And I really like your take that it's something like adding color, because you can just read a comic which is black and white, which is cool, and adding color can put it on another level. But it can also, if it's the wrong color palette or if it's done in a non-fitting way, it can also take something away from the comic. And I think that these virtual reality or augmented reality experiences are the same.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think it's nice to see that this festival tries to do it in a way that it's not too academic and not too much of the gamey entertainment thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
it's the right balance of fun and seriousness, as serious as comics can get. They can be pretty serious, but I think academic, let's say, and but always with the sense of quality, I think, is the thing that shines through most from the fact that you have to submit to have a table. It's a curated festival, which can be frustrating for some people when they're not picked. But also, if you if I first applied to Thought Bubble, I wasn't picked, and it made me work harder and work better until I was Thought Bubble approved. You know.
And now you're a regular.
And now I'm a regular. And this time I got in the Comixology marquee, which is sort of the big one. I was like, yes, I finally made the big time.
But you're right. I mean, the fact that it's curated really shows in the high quality of all the people there. Like, even if you have these people who just made their first comic, it's like this amazing handcrafted zine with a lot of... You can see how much talent and time and work they put in this comic. It's not just any scribble thingy or like these just illustrated postcard tables that you get at a lot of conventions that are usually aimed for comics. So the level of quality is really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's such a enriching experience just to walk around and see what is being done. And obviously it's an international crowd of visitors and an international crowd of exhibitors, and people want to come there from all over the world. And I think you see it, and it's wonderful to be able to have come to Leeds, which is a beautiful city and relatively easy to get to from Berlin. just be experienced and just exposed to the world of comics in such a wonderful and inclusive and welcoming way.
Yeah, and I think although it's growing every year, it's still like has enough space so it doesn't feel too crowded. Like, you still can just stand in front of a table and talk to the creators for like 10 minutes, and they appreciate it. They're not like these typical salesperson kind of people that like only pitch their story and then you have to decide if you buy it or not, because you can just chat with them about anything, really.
Yeah, people want to talk and people want to be in a place of like-minded people where you can talk about these things. It's not everybody in their day-to-day life doesn't have the opportunity to spend 2 days solidly talking about the thing that they love and the thing that they're passionate about, and know that the chances are the person you're talking to will know that obscure reference about the Booster Gold run from the mid-80s.
Yeah, that's also a thing that I really like about Thought Bubble is you only have these, I think, three comic book stores that also have a spot. But apart from that, you don't have these collectors' tables where you have long boxes of centuries-old comics and people flip through it. Like, you only have these three things, like from Traveling Man, OK Comics, and the third one, gosh, I'm not sure if they have there. There's a third one.
There's a Forbidden Planet, isn't there, in Leeds?
Yeah, but I don't think they get a table.
I saw people with Forbidden Planet bags, but maybe they would... I don't know.
I haven't seen it, but anyway, it's really more about the people who make the art and less about the collector stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, our flight is about to board, and thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you.
And see you next year.
See you there.
Links zu allen Künstlerinnen findet ihr auf der Website yaycomics.de/59. Wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, empfehlt sie weiter.
Sarah stays up tonight.
All night.
Genau.
Jetzt ein Podcast-Gerät so.